headless horseman, he's the worst.
That's why he's mad on Halloween night.
But when he goes to jogging across the land, holding his noggin in his hand, demons take one look and groan, and hit the road for parts unknown.
Beware, take care, he rides alone.
And there's no spook like Spook at Spur.
They don't like him, and he's really burned.
He swears to the longest day he's dead,
he'll show them that he can get ahead.
They say he's
trick or treat, bitches. It's Rewind, Replay, Record. Sorry, I came off a little too harsh there. It's the spooky season, and times are spooky, but you know what? Who cares? We're going to have some fun. This is actually the first of a weekly podcast series, and I'll explain that in just a moment. So you guys are getting treats and maybe some tricks. I don't know. We'll see how it happens. Who is on the line with me today?
Oh, this is Edwin.
Hey, Edwin, how you doing?
Good, 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 man.
Excellent, excellent. And who also is joining us today?
This is Daniel. I mean, Ava.
What?
Oh, wait, what? Technical difficulties in the first 5 minutes.
Wow, you know.
Thanks, everyone.
Wow. Hey, you know what? Yeah, okay, cool. I'll take it. You sound less aggressive, so that's nice.
Gone through some changes.
Well, we accept that. We accept you. welcome, Ava. So, this, like I said earlier, this is going to be the first part of a weekly episode drops that we're going to do for the month of October. Because if you aren't aware, like I said, it's the spooky season. It's Halloween time. And we all like horror movies, and the one trend in horror movies is that there seems to be a lot of remakes of older horror movies. So we figured we would take something of a classic horror movie and then watch its remake, or vice versa, or so. And, well, not vice versa. It's going to be happening anyway. God, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, we're going to be doing it. I mean, unless we do just, like, we'll do... You know, like a family movie and then a family horror movie and then I guess just like another like horror.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
But I kind of like, to the contrast and compare. I feel like there's not enough love for the classics.
Yeah, no, there's, people forget them and then all of a sudden they realize like, oh, hey, this is actually pretty good. I think a lot of people, and I think you're going to start seeing that more with, especially like on stuff like HBO Max and stuff. They have a whole Turner Classic Library there where, hey guys, watch Casablanca. It's actually like a really legit great movie. It was made in the 30s or 40s, but it still is one of the best movies you can watch. And it's entertaining and holds up today. But one of the
also, oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Also kind of like, there's always kind of like, there's at least for my, I can speak for myself, but there's just some during this time, during like Halloween, there's some Halloween movies that you go through, you know, or horror movies or films that you go through during certain times. And I'm sure just like Christmas, people have a certain classic that everybody has in their, like in their collection or what they're in the mood for when it comes to Halloween or Christmas. Like they have a really old vintage, maybe from their parents that they used to watch, you know, that they used to watch. And then, you know, along with, you know, modern movies that they like to watch. I don't think I really had that really. I don't know if you have, like you've, you know, the movies that we're about to talk about, I'm sure you've seen, like you were a fan of, the original maybe you can go ahead and introduce the movies I do, bro.
It's all right. Yeah, no, definitely. I will do that. But no, I mean, like also what you were saying, there are those touchstones of like, you know, hey, it's Halloween. I got to watch this. Hey, it's Christmas. Like for me personally, it's not Christmas until it's Christmas time. Charlie Brown's, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas special is watched. Then it's like, hey, it's now the Christmas season. Ava, do you have anything like that? Also, did you kind of grew up like that too and such?
Yeah, kind of like the same thing you're saying. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Like I have to watch this time of year.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, there are some fun Halloween specials and everything out there. Like Garfield is a fan of, I'm a fan of that one. But one of the ones that a lot of people are that was done on the 80s and everything, because, you know, programming loved to, you know, put out specials if they had nothing to watch. Well, the first one we're going to be doing is actually The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Now, that is the Headless Horseman. The Disney made the one, The Adventures of Ichabod, which was in the movie The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. It was like a double feature.
Join in the merry mad adventures and escapades of that rich, reckless, uproarious rake, the magnificent Mr. Toad and his crazy cronies, Mr. Rat and Mr. Mole, as they step out of the pages of Kenneth Graham's hilarious tale, The Wind in the Willows, as told by that inimitable storyteller, Basil Rathbone. For a rollicking ride through Sleepy Hollow, Walt and Bing bring to laughable, colorful life Washington Irving's exciting legend with that awkward schoolmaster, Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod may be quaint, may be odd, and maybe he ain't. Anyway, there's no complaint from Ichabod, Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane, daring, reckless, losing his heart to Katrina the cutie, and his head when pursued by the hair-raising Headless Horseman.
We're going to be talking about The Adventures of Ichabod and not Mr. Toad, because Mr. Toad isn't really a horror movie or scary. And then we
I got to say, very confusing, by the way. Like, the way you get the movie. Like, yeah. I'm sure there were people, like, for me, when, you know, when someone told, when Ava told me about, like, hey, let's watch The Adventures of Ichabod, you know, Sleepy Hollow. I'm like, okay. And then I put it on, and I have to sit through the adventures. What? How does the other one?
Mr. Toad,
Wild Ride.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's from Disney, and it's an adaptation of The Wind in the Willows.
Thank you.
Essentially, what the reason why it was those two together was that there was a in the 40s and stuff. Disney, it's actually. They had animated features that had like a package film, which they had like little shorts and stuff in there. They had, this is the Three Caballeros, Saludos Amigos, Make My Music, Fun and Fancy Free, and Melody Time. And this was the last of those kind of packaged movies. And essentially those are movies that they thought, hey, we can make this a feature length, but it's too short. So what do we do? Well, yeah, that's not short. That's not, we're going to put it together and here it is. And you're right. It makes absolutely no sense. Why?
The two stories don't go good together, but I do like the way they present it on film as if they're just reading each book. You know, it's like basically like a story time for kids. So at least they kind of tried to mesh them together a little bit.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that would have been a kind of a better approach of just like having a, you know, here are movies that, you know, are, you know, more than a short, but less than a feature. Let's put these together and like make a lot of these. Like kind of like a library setting type situation that they would just present that.
Two different stories completely.
Yeah, completely different stories. Even though, you know what, you could probably argue, because I didn't watch Mr. Toad, but judging from the Disneyland ride, you know, they do send you to hell.
Yeah. That's my favorite part of the ride.
It's great, because it's just all of a sudden like, oh, hey, guess what? You rode this ride, you're dead. Now you're in hell. Mm-hmm. Because you wanted to have fun.
You know, I gotta say, the ride did make me
watch the movie.
The first time I rode it, which was last year,
mm-hmm.
when we went, I'm like, you know, it was like, oh, we need to go. It was like one of the first rides that we went on going back to the park last year. I'm like, I know nothing about this movie. Never seen it. I go in and yes, the part where, wait, I'm going to hell and this is a kid's ride?
Yeah.
I come out, I'm like, I got to see this movie. Yeah. It did make me want to watch the movie, which I did. I'm like, okay. You know, again, I'm not saying that it's like a good, it's like a favorite of mine. But, you know, but it is interesting.
It is one of those, again, and, you know, they did this where they weren't really available together a lot of the times. Because after, you know, what happened was with these, a lot of these package movies is that they would just split them up and then air them on, you know, the Wonderful World of Disney and stuff. So, like, the Legend of, or the Adventures of Ichabod became pretty popular time, you know, around Halloween time and stuff. So Disney could just, oh, okay, yeah, it's, you know, we have that weekly show we have to do. It's Halloween time, Adventures of Ichabod. There you go. And, you know, in the video era and stuff, they did have them separately, but it was hard to find as a kid. The Mr. Toad at least was, for whatever reason, it wasn't really, it was on video, but it was kind of hard to find for whatever reason. But Ichabod, they always had that plane, or at least the last 15 minutes of it, which essentially is what we're probably going to be talking about a majority. But the Adventures of Ichabod is based on the, let me, where's this friggin' name?
Washington Irving.
Yeah, Washington Irving. It's contained in a collection of 34 essays and short stories entitled The Sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon Gent. It was written while he was living abroad in Birmingham, England, and this concludes Brian's book report. thank you. Yay. It also, it was a short story, and it was part, and also Rip Van Winkle was part of that collection as well. So it's, you know, it is a, you know, American Gothic horror story, or not even a horror story, just an American Gothic story. And to be honest, just looking at it, I've never read it, because if you've tried to read, you know, 19th century books or literature, they talk differently. They talk funny. They talk funny. They don't talk well, or they don't talk good. So it can get a little like, you have to kind of reread each sentence a lot. Like, wait, I know these words. I know what they mean, but they all put together. It's like watching an Australian movie. So Legend of Sleepy Hollow, that comes out. Disney again brings it out with this whole thing. And what did you guys think of Ichabod? What'd you think of it?
I mean, I've been a fan of that for a long time, like, mm-hmm. that I grew up with as a kid liking, and kind of like you were saying, when I was, you know, like, preteens, I wanted the movie, and I was, like, confused, like you're saying, like, how come I can't find it by itself? What is this Mr. Toad? Like, I guess I must have watched it, like you're saying, on Disney when they would just show it, so I always saw it by itself, so I never really watched Mr. Toad until much later when I got the, you know, DVD, how it comes with both, but I've always been a fan. I think for me personally, I have a really strong liking for Bing Crosby. So mm-hmm. that voice, I think as a kid, is what drew me to the movie. So that's my love for it.
It's definitely, he has definitely a voice that soothes, but also can make you kind of on edge a little. Kind of like where it's just like, where is he going with this? Like, he's too smooth. He's too, and you know, I'm sure, you know, it's even worse with his kids and everything, but his kids would probably agree. But he has that voice that just soothing, calm, like, how you doing? Like, he's like that old town, like if you're in a horror movie going to cottage or going to like a cabin, he's going to be the guy that's like, oh, you're heading old to the old Murphy estate, huh?
Yeah.
And it's like, true. It's very like, yeah, why? Oh, no, just saying. And it's always like questioning and just like, well, you just go down the road and turn a right. Hope to see you next time. What does that mean? What are you saying? just being gentlemanly. It's like, God damn it. So, and he does provide, is the voice, he does pretty much provide the voice of everything. He has a couple songs on there that are very good, that are incredibly catchy, including Nickapod. Yeah, no, Edwin, what did you think?
I mean, again, this was kind of a new, I didn't grow up with this. My first time was probably like a few, maybe like 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago when Ava introduced me to it. My first impression was, you know, obviously it started, you know, starts kind of slow, kind of like, yeah, Bing Crosby kind of narrating the whole thing, kind of, you know, kind of like a slow start. Again, this movie came out in 1949, so I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. But as the movie went on, it was the ending, the last showdown between, you know, Ichabod and the Headless Horseman that kind of ramped up, you know, the movie, like, you know, picked up pace. The music, the imagery, like, of the cartoon was very, you know, felt like, you know, very Halloween. Like, yeah. When the chase is happening into the woods and you see, like, you know, the creepy trees and, like, you know, the music, and then you finally see the Headless Horseman and him, like, chasing it around. And again, it has, like, funny moments too. Even though it's kind of a slow paced movie, it has some, like, you know, funny moments where the famous when Ichabod is riding the horse backwards.
Yeah.
You know, that whole sequence. But to me, what made a lasting impression was the end. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm, you know, spoilers if you haven't seen it, but it's the ending that really kind of like made me think, so wait, what? So what did happen? Did the horseman get Ichabod or not? And even though the movie kind of taps into it, like you hear the narrator, there's something about the way it's put together where I think, oh man, he probably didn't make it. And the movie just ends. Mm-hmm. And there's some. It kind of felt like, I guess by the end, I felt like someone just told me a story, like in a campfire during Halloween. And it's kind of like, to me, it felt open-ended, even though it tells you, like, oh, people say that, you know, that the ending went this way or it went that way. But you don't see that, you know, really.
Right. And again, I think that plays with Bing Crosby's narration as well, how it's just like, well, some say this. Could be right, could be wrong. And then it ends with that image of the cloud, the edge of the, that image of the cloud, like, looking like it's holding the moon, like a head. You know, so it does, and then to be 100%, just looking at the plot synopsis of the short story, this is an incredibly fateful adaptation of this. This is like, you know, word for word, beat for beat. What the original short story was. Ichabod Crane is the headmaster's school teacher in, you know, the 1700s, comes into town. Everyone's kind of like, what a freaking nerd. Look at this foppish nerd. And there's the the guy that everybody loves.
Yeah, Braun.
Yeah, he's just the alpha, like the, you know, basically an inspiration for Gaston. From
that's exactly what I was gonna say too. Yeah. I'm like, wow, because I kind of watched this within the same time. I'm like, very like that.
Exactly, and it's them competing for the likes of Katrina, whose father is a million. She's really cute and hot and just the most desirable woman, and not like that troll that they try to dance with. Like, let's not talk about her.
She was a little cute.
I'm looking at the 1940s guy. I'm looking at the guy that's smoking a cigarette, that has a buttoned up shirt with short sleeves, going like, who would want her? Let's make fun of the fatties. I'm looking at it through the 1940s eye. That's all. Today, I'd hit that. I'd hit it so hard.
I will chuckle. It's the laugh that I think gets you. That's very sexy. Like when she gets really excited.
Oh my god!
You with the dancing,
you know you're doing a good job. Yeah. Anyway,
very adorable.
Yeah, exactly. You guys. but yeah, no. So they're competing with Katrina, and that's also a very thing where it's like they don't really. Yeah, she's hot and everything, but man, her dad is loaded, and he has land. He has the fields and everything and all this. And the first 15 minutes of this is basically just Brahm and, you know, Ichabod trying to compete with Katrina. And Katrina's in this one, in this version, Katrina looks like she's using Ichabod to make Brahm jealous and maybe,
yeah,
you know, okay, okay, I'm just using this nerd. I don't really want to, I don't want this nerd. I want you, but you got to step it up, you know, put a ring on it. But the first 15 minutes, you don't really get the sense that this is something to Halloween or like even a spooky story. It's just two guys trying to, you know, love triangle essentially. And it isn't until when, you know, you see all the, you know, carved pumpkins and stuff at the old dance where they start telling
Once it gets tales. There, that's when it really picks up. Yeah,
exactly. Agreed. Exactly.
Because that's where you actually get the story.
Yeah.
Of this is where you find out that, like, Ichabod is very superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Brahm, what's his name? I'm going to get this. Brahm.
Brahm. Yeah.
Like, kind of sees that and then takes advantage. And that's when you get a very, very dark song of the Headless Horseman. Dark even for Disney, which I think I read that they almost actually wrote that off, did not include it in the movie because it was too dark.
Yeah, the animation from that point on, it's just, oh, I love it. Everything is so good.
Exactly. And then, you know, so he basically puts this image in his head, and then Ichabod goes on his merry way that night, and he's scared. He has this, you know, slowpoke horse mule combination. And this is when I think this is Disney animation at its best. I think this is because the beats, the setup, the jokes and everything for it, it's you know, classic comedy, you know, the, it's the, you know, hearing, and it's actually just the, you know, the reeds on the tree, and he thinks it's the Headless Horseman, and he starts laughing, and then just all of a sudden, you hear that, and he turns around, and he's holding a head. He's actually holding a flaming skull.
Right.
And that changes back and forth from that to a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And it's just such a striking image, and it's such a cool image that it lasts, I think, generations. Like, it just, it's a timeless image of a, oh, crap, that's really scary. And for a lot of kids, I think this is their first introduction into a horror movie. You have, you know, the unstoppable force that's coming to kill you, and, like, you know, how do you kill something that's already dead? that type of thing. So, I mean, it's just done super well, and it's, and it, the animation of him chasing him down and looking down, and the, you know, when they finally get to the clear, like, okay, I'm safe, and he's just like, ha, psych, motherfucker. And he throws the pumpkin, and that image of the pumpkin flames going towards, you know, the screen and stuff. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful animation, and Disney at its best.
I do like, too, how, you know, I've seen it so many times, and every time I think, like, man, it could really go so many ways. Like, it could be Brahm dressed up, just trying to scare him out of town. It could be really a spirit trying to get his head, like, it could go so many ways, and I love that about it.
I think it is Brahm, only because in the cartoon, like, you see Brahm take advantage of it. Like I said before, he tells the story to freak him out, so it makes sense that he would dress up as him to kind of chase him out. But the question is, did he chase him out, or did he actually kill for the...
What? Ichabod is so superstitious. I think Brahm could tell when he was telling that story at the party, he scared him enough right there. So maybe he didn't even think of dressing up, and it was really a spirit. And Brahm realizes, oh my gosh, the legends are true.
It could, but they never really, but in the end, you hear them say, the narrator, Bing Crosby, your boy, saying, hey, no one ever heard from him. People say this, people say that. Mm-hmm. Well, I say Brahm killed them for the girl, because that's just how people were back then. Because he could not stand that this skinny little wimp came into his town to take his girl.
I just think it was food poisoning, because I don't think they cooked their food very well back then either.
Boy, he ate good.
That was the thing. That was it, the thing, said too.
Even back then, teachers didn't make that much money.
He eats good the whole movie, and he's really skinny. What is that about?
Well, he has a high metabolism, and again, he's probably, you know, that, and also, like, he not only that, he's using women to get, he marks them, and he can see that, where it's like, oh, dinner, delicious, turkey, delicious, and, like, that's how he grades the school children, essentially, is how they,
yeah. So you gotta say, like, who's really, like, the villain here, because you're right, I forget that Ichabod is kind of, like, you know, even fantasizes about being married to Katrina, because she's, you know, yeah. a family with
she's
money.
Rich. Exactly. Yeah, that's rich. All he sees her as.
And then like, she, but for yeah. food. So yeah. there's really nobody really that you're rooting for. Like, that's no. like, oh, that's good, per se. You can no, say Gaston. Can I just call him Gaston? Gaston seems like
Gaston.
Gaston or Brahm.
I'm rooting for the Headless Horseman to get his spirit. He's getting ahead tonight.
So mm-hmm. you think in the end, Ichabod died?
I believe there was a spirit. It's not Brahm.
And did the spirit get the head?
Well, that we'll never know. But the point is, there's a spirit on Halloween night is when he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, you haven't said a damn thing about the ending. What is your interpretation of this damn movie? What did you think?
Food poisoning. I think they don't cook their food very well.
He's such a... food poisoning.
It's food poisoning, clearly. Idiots.
From, like, the fat little kid that he robs the sandwich from
in the beginning of the movie. Exactly. He was like, man.
From that turkey that he eats that he grabs from his, like...
that's been sitting in his coat.
In his coat for I don't know how long. That he grabs it late at night. Yeah. That's actually not a bad idea. Like, sometimes I want a piece of chicken.
It's $17.99. I don't think they knew. It was just like, is it cooked all the way? It's hot. Okay, cool. It's all right. Here's some nice pinkish... chicken, yum, just like my mom used to make. Like, no, it's and we'll get into it in the remake and stuff in a moment. It sucked to live back then. Let's just put it out there. It sucked. It was probably stinky to high heaven and all that. You believe idiotic things like headless horse people and such. It was hard, but I think he died. So anyway, no.
He died terribly.
He died a horrible death. Yeah, Brahm made sure he was good and dead. But no, again, I like, and that's also the book, how the book ends too. Again, this is a very faithful adaptation to a book, to the book where it just kind of goes like, hey, yeah, some people say he left and is, you know, with his new, with a, he's, he basically took the, you know, spot of a dead dad and took over his family just for food. and everything, and yeah, but some people say he's dead, and there it is. And Katrina and Brahm lived happily ever after. Who cares
Which
about
is,
that?
Again, yeah,
I do like that it's left open for your own interpretation. I like that. I didn't know it's pretty much beat for beat on the book. That's really cool.
And I like that. Again, I like the ending. It, like I said, it struck a chord with me in the end that you don't really get like an ending. Like, oh, this is what happened. You kind of interpret it however you want based on, like, you know, the little information that they give you in the end.
Yeah.
And I think that helps. I think the movie kind of live longer. You know? No,
exactly. And I think it's just, I think, again, it's that iconic, again, it's that for a lot of kids, I think this is their first introduction to horror and have a horror monster, you know, because that was when, you know, in the, this was released 1949, the 50s start, and you have monster movies and stuff. You had monster movies, you know, with Universal Monsters and stuff. Already, and for a lot of kids, again, I think this is, you know, because parents were like, hey, it's a fucking kids movie, and it's on, you know, TV. Just put them in there so they can shut up. And for a lot of kids, that, you know, again, it's that cool image. I mean, they have this every year at Disneyland during Halloween time. They have a statue of the Headless Horseman with the Flaming Pumpkin and everything. It's cool. Again, it's that iconic thing. And yeah, like I've been saying, it is kind of a faithful adaptation to the book. But what if you wanted to make a movie that's almost 2 hours long? And you know, how do you expand on that? How do you add that filler and everything? Well, Tim Burton said, hold my beer, I got this, fam. And in 1999, came out with Sleepy Hollow.
Constable Ichabod Crane, sent from New York to investigate murder in Sleepy Hollow.
How much of your superiors explained to you?
Only that the three were slain in open ground, their heads severed from their bodies.
Taken by the headless horseman, taken back to hell. He rode a giant black steed. To look at him made your blood run cold. Even today, the Western Woods is a haunted place where brave men will not venture.
We have murders in New York without benefit of ghouls and goblins.
You're a long way from New York, Constable.
Is everyone in this village enthralled to superstition?
We have many things to talk about, even in this backward place.
Excuse my manner. I'm not used.
Female company?
Murder! The horseman's killed again!
The assassin is a man of flesh and blood, and I will discover him.
Are you so certain of everything?
Perhaps there's a bit of a witch in you, Katrina.
Why do you say that?
Because you've bewitched me.
Starring Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci, Jeffrey Jones, and Casper Van Dien, talking about Gaston for the 90s.
Yeah. Don't forget, I think, what is it? Dumbledore. Isn't it Dumbledore? Like, I feel like the old man Richard that played Dumbledore.
I believe he is, maybe. I think, yeah, maybe. And also Richard Griffith, who is Harry's uncle. Right. Is also on it. He's the fat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's his uncle, horrible uncle. That he's the guy that got decapitated in front of Johnny Depp for the first time. Spoilers. And his head spun around and fell down. So yeah, 1999, Sleepy Hollow comes out, and for a lot of people, I think this may be the start of Tim Burton's decline a little. I think this is the first point. Because if I'm not mistaken, the previous movie was Ed Wood.
Mars Attacks.
I liked Mars Attacks. I liked Mars Attacks.
So you don't think the incline of Tim Burton was with Mars Attacks? You think it's this one?
I think. I haven't seen Mars Attack in years. That's a good one. But I mean, the thing is that he already hit highs with Ed Wood, because that was the movie before Mars Attack. Mars Attacks, and. But yeah, I think for a lot of people, this was kind of like, okay, yeah, if you didn't like Mars Attacks, okay, that may be a misstep, whatever, he's still Tim Burton. And then he makes this, and it's like, oh, because his next movie is really just hits the nail on the coffin, which is Planet of the Apes.
That's a nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that's when it was like, yeah, oh, comes to. Tim Burton's done, I think. So Sleepy Hollow comes out in 1999. It is an American guy.
50 years later.
Exactly. Yes, 50-year anniversary. And this does take a lot of shot for shots, remakes from the Adventures of Ichabod. One, because the Adventures of Ichabod was the most recent version of the Headless Horseman tale. And also, too, Tim Burton's a huge Disney fan. In fact, worked for the company back in the early 80s. So you could tell he loved that short as well and was inspired to do this. But again, how do you fill a movie, an hour and a half movie, based on something that's like maybe a half hour of material? Guys, what did you think of Sleepy Hollow?
I like the like gothic look to it, the music. It's just the story, like you're saying, I guess because they tried to fill it with certain things. Like there's things about it I don't understand, like the whole flashbacks with the mom. I don't see the point of it other than explaining why Johnny Depp's character becomes the man he becomes with being obsessed with death in a way. I don't really understand why else they kept showing the flashbacks of the mom. So yeah, kind of some things I felt unnecessary. There were a couple things that you could tell they were trying to do a nod to the original, which I appreciated, but yeah, I think then as it goes on, the ending's very disappointing.
Yeah, they try to make it a murder mystery. They change Ichabod Crane, played by Johnny Depp, who at this point was like, oh, all right, Johnny Depp, cool, and not, oh, Johnny Depp, all right.
I do like that they changed his character, Ichabod, from a school teacher to, like, a detective, which made more sense why he would come to this town. Like, that made more sense of why his character is there and investigating the body. So I kind of do like that.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. It gives an interesting twist and also kind of makes, like, again, it pits, you know, him against the horseman. And that's, okay, who is this horseman? What is he here for? That type of thing. And again, as Christina Ricci is Katrina in it, she is played by Christina Ricci at her most Christina Ricci-est, which is like a porcelain baby doll come to life. and you have Casper Van Dien coming off, I think, at that point, Starship Troopers. And this is the highest point he's going to get, so
What about Starship Troopers 3?
You know what? You proved me wrong, sir.
Rico's Revenge.
Well, I mean, he did find Jesus in those Omega Code movies.
Oh yeah, he was in those?
Yeah, he was in one of them at least. That was a movie that came out of nowhere. I had no idea existed or anything. And I worked at the movies during this time period, and you know, you would receive trailers or posters or something, but just all of a sudden it was like, coming out Friday, Omega Code. What the fuck is the Omega Code? And they're like, yeah, we already have like sold out showings. And I'm like, what is this? And it was a Christian movie made by the TBN network. And it just was like, what the hell? Like, this is bizarre. Because it came out of nowhere, filled up our theater, like a 400 seat theater. And it was sold out the whole weekend. It was insane. It was.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah.
Van Dien.
Yeah, exactly. And they all chanted, Casper, Casper, Casper. And with their Bibles, they were all polite, too. So anyway, no, they weren't. They were horrible people. So yeah, Sleepy Hollow. Ichabod is a New York detective, and there's murders afoot in the sleepy town of Sleepy Hollow. So they, New York is kind of sick of them. Going, you know, because he wants to, like, you know, do some actual investigation instead of just like, hey, we found this person in the river. Okay, he drowned, but right. He may have been murdered. It doesn't fucking matter if it's in the water. He drowned. So just to get rid of him, they sent him up to Sleepy Hollow to investigate a bunch of murders and stuff. And witches are afoot as well. And Christopher Walken is playing the Headless Horseman, also played, or the person that is actually the Headless Horseman, is Ray Park, who had quite a year that year too with Star Wars: The Phantom Menace. He played Darth Maul.
Oh.
Another connection.
I was actually wondering who played the actual Headless Horseman.
Yeah, Ray Park, also in the movie. Ian McDermott, who plays Emperor Palpatine. He plays the priest in this movie as well. Mm-hmm. So there's the connection. Anyway, there's your Star Wars connection. Sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Like,
I just... it always has to go back to that.
I did find it interesting that they were talking a little bit about how, like you were saying, oh, the guy fell in the rivers, therefore he drowned. Thinking about how things were handled back in that time, how no one really thought to be a coroner and really investigate how people died. So I do kind of like how they show him making his own instruments and stuff to be more of an investigator. I did like that. It's like it has good ideas, but I don't like the way everything was meshed together and executed. It's like some good ideas were there. It just didn't land 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Like, I mean, for me, I mean, at the time that it came out in 99, obviously I was a big Tim Burton fan, like Johnny Depp, loved Christina Ricci. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, okay, this is going to be a winner. Was super excited. And the first, everything, like everything, like, oh,
It's a Tim Burton horror movie.
A horror movie. Exactly. I'm like, oh, I'm so in.
Yeah. Nightmare Before Christmas vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt like, you know, this can't go wrong. This is probably going to be my favorite movie. So I went in with high expectations and was not a fan at the time. I think I watched it and I forgotten about it. And as time went on, I think I always, and I think even when we lived together, B-Rai, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it. Maybe this will be the time. And, you know, and to me, I did not, kind of like Abel was saying, just did not mesh well. Like, every time I watch it, I'm like, this is going to be the time I'm going to like it and get it. And yeah. I did it. And I think it's the, and honestly, the reasons why I liked it. Drop some. And I think the thing that I really got excited for is the reason why it failed. And I think it's Tim Burton. And he has this fascination with including, look, I get like he has some daddy issues because he includes like flashbacks of, you know, you have Edward Scissorhands, you have Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, Sleepy Hollow, you have these
Big Fish.
Thank you. Exactly. Maybe that's why I'm not a big fan of Big Fish either. There's something about him and like his parent and going through some type of parent withdrawal that he includes in his movies that to me just didn't connect well with the main story, especially with Sleepy Hollow. Like I didn't understand the mom. Like I get why like she and the mom was included because they're trying to make a connection that she was kind of a witch, just like Katrina, Christina Ricci's character. Like they're bringing in like, you know, of the time, you know, of like witchcraft and all that within the story. Yeah. Which I guess to me, I'm like, okay, you're adding way too many elements to it. There's that. And then the ending spoiler where the last, like literally last 15 or 20 minutes is I'm not a fan of.
It becomes an action movie at that point. And it becomes like just a roller
dull,
coaster. Yeah.
And the person that's behind it, you know, is like, okay, who is she? Like, I know you see it throughout the movie, but she's kind of like comes out of nowhere to me.
Yeah.
And the backstory again with the Headless Horseman, I really didn't like. I didn't like the fact that it was Christopher Walken. I really wish they could have just kept that a mystery. I didn't need him to have a face, but they had to have a face. And I think that's a Tim Burton thing because he loves Christopher Walken. He likes to make it creepy. And it didn't need it. To me, it just, like you said, how do you stretch this out for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Well, you add unnecessary stories to it, which I didn't get.
He could have done such a better job of making the story of someone controlling the Headless Horseman. That story that, you know, he went with, it's just so bad.
It's unnecessary. And if you have to have it, put it in the beginning. Like
at that
the very
point, it
beginning.
Becomes Friday the 13th. That's Jason's mom. You know,
that's a very good pull, sir. That's exactly like Friday the 13th. Exactly. Yeah. You know that, I think, right there. But I don't think it needed it. I think the idea of just this, it's funny, we didn't mention this, that now in this remake, Ichabod is not a teacher, but now, like you said, a detective, a constable. Oh, that he's now like coming into Sleepy Hollow, like you said, detecting. I didn't mind also like, oh, there's a conspiracy within like the townspeople, even though it's not strong. That was enough.
So
but then you include the witch with the twins and
too much story again.
Yeah, well, I think the ultimate failing one also, I think, the his mom was included because, Johnny Depp is the original. Emo goth kid from the 80s going, my parents don't understand me, I'm weird, I like Vincent Price movies and my dad doesn't like me, and his dad's in the corner going like, I love you son, fuck you dad. Anyway,
I bought you a camera.
I want you to work. God, why do you want me dead? Like, you know, oh son, stop calling me that. Anyway, also because I think he also wanted Lisa Marie in a low-cut corset, which, hey, game on, bro. Player, player, except, you know, good job. Thank you. Anyway, but also I think for me, ultimately, the reason why this movie doesn't work is because they solve the mystery. There's no open endings. They solve everything. Right. They go, yeah, the Headless Horseman is a spiritual figure. It isn't a prank. It isn't anything. He is a spiritual figure. He is dead. He then goes back into the ground. You see Johnny Depp. You see Ichabod get Katrina, go into the city, and live his life out. There's no mystery. There's no what if. There's like no... Yeah,
it becomes kind of like a Batman story. You have this that little kid, one of the victim's kids decides like, hey, I have nobody, can I help you out? And yeah, it's like, oh wow, it's kind of like a detective now getting like an orphan.
So this was Tim Burton's Batman 3.
Basically, yeah. Without he's giving us Batman 3 without realizing it.
Brian, why do you think they showed, like, what do you think the purpose was of showing the backflashes of the mom?
Honestly, I think it's just, again, I think it was just to connect with the whole witchcraft, how he knows some witchcraft. That's why I think is ultimately why he did that, just to show that he can know he's, you know, to Katrina. It isn't until like Katrina at the end when she draws that chalk circle to protect everybody. But at the same time, he's like, I've seen those images. Oh my goodness. But again, I think ultimately it was also because Tim Burton wanted to see Lisa Marie in a corset, which again, I don't blame him, but I mean, at the same time, that was his wife or girlfriend at the time, so he could have probably done that any day. Anyway, so the one thing I do remember from this movie, because actually this is the first time I've watched it and everything, but when it came out, I worked at the movies, and I remember waiting for the movie to come out so we can go in and clean it and everything. And there was this like group of friends, and you could tell the odd person out, which was like a friend of a friend that joined in and was just kind of like, which one of these is not like the other. And, you know, like they felt bad for him or something. And they came out and somebody else, they were all just standing there. One of them asked like, what'd you think of it? And he's all, well, I think it was rather corny. I mean, that amount of blood coming out of the Iron Maiden from his mother, the body doesn't produce that much. And there, as he was talking, there was one guy that was giving him the stink eye. And right after he said that, the guy that was giving him the stink eye just went, it's a fucking nightmare, you idiot. And just, the guy just, I just think that was corny. I don't, and it was just like one of those, like, well, that friend's not going to join the group anymore. Like, that guy basically struck out. But, and I laughed, because when I did see it, I was like, yeah, that was a lot of blood. Well, anyway.
So do you, actually, that's something I never thought of. Do you interpret that scene as a nightmare? Because I thought he really did see his mother die.
Oh, I'm sure he saw his mom die and everything. I'm sure he saw his mom die, but like,
because it was a nightmare. Maybe the blood.
And plus, not only that.
Well, what about when the blood, where he was hacking up the tree and a bunch of blood? I remember you said I don't like it.
My note of the movie when I first saw it was there's a lot of unnecessary blood.
And to me, I'm like, you gotta have it, but sometimes it's used as a comical. You know,
comical
moment, kind of like because they're always spraying Johnny Depp with blood, and it comes out like not naturally. It's like kind of like in Kill Bill movies,
right?
Like,
exactly.
I think it's supposed to be makes abusively squeamish. You're supposed the audience was like, oh, gross, you grody blood.
Yeah, exactly. Sleepy Hollow. No, it's the Sleepy Hollow. Of course, there's blood. The guy's cutting heads off.
Yeah, Headless Horseman.
God, no. No, but yeah, so I think it's one of, I think, as a kid, you always imagine things are way bigger than they are, too. Like, especially if you're scared of something, your mind's going to play tricks on you and everything. So I do think, like, those flashbacks, and plus, those flashbacks are very angelic, like, you know, like cherry blossom trees and, you know, very slow-mo and her, you know, whimsical. Twirling around.
It's a scene from,
there's a lot. Hand
with Winona Ryder.
Not only like, that, there's the a snow. Lot. There's a lot of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in this movie, too.
Agreed.
You have Johnny Depp almost being Charlie for a couple times with the glasses. And then also the flashbacks to even his little
it's exactly the same story.
His mouth, where it's just like, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. But
the same movie. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. But no, but and then also, you know, the parent issues and stuff too, and all that. But I think again, it's a movie that was like, I think it is one of those. I get why you keep going back to it all the time, because it's like, okay, Johnny Depp before, you know, Pirates. So he was still that, you know, interesting actor that picked interesting movies, you know, Leaving Las Vegas and not Leaving Las Vegas, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and, you know, stuff like that. Dead Man, 21 Jump Street, you know, he picked Ed Wood. He picked interesting things. So it has that. It has Tim Burton at his, you know, during Halloween time. Awesome. Great. Those two right there are like, how can I not like this? So it always tricks. I can see it being it tricks people going like, no, that was good, right? Like, it looks good, right? It has to be.
And it does. And again, this is where Francis Ford Coppola started his own production company.
Zoetrope.
And they did, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And they even got the same kind of production designer, I believe. So you kind of have, you know, that feeling of old goth, old-fashioned, like, movie making, which I do like.
That's the best part of it. Like, the beginning of the movie with the music and that gothic look, like, it does make me feel like, ooh, Halloween, yay. But then, it just progressively.
It's the story that ruins it to me.
Yeah.
Like, Danny Elfman, again, you even have Danny Elfman coming back doing the music, so you can't go wrong. And not to say this was a bad score, but it's not like a Danny Elfman, like, one of his best scores or anything like that. But, you know, it's
not memorable.
Okay.
It doesn't have
It's
that
not score. Memorable. It doesn't need to be, again, but.
You can't sing the title of the film in the score.
Right.
And that's always a good Superman. Look up in the sky. He's flying. Who is it now? It's Superman. Batman.
Yeah, I think this is when they decided to come back. Because again, if you're saying, which I want to say, I'm going to disagree until I'm proven wrong. I'm pretty sure it was. I don't think Ed Wood was before this. I thought it was.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was before this. Ed Wood was like 90.
So Mars Attacks, then Ed Wood, then Sleepy Hollow?
Let's take
a look.
It's
not the other way around. Anyway.
Tim Burton.
Because the only reason I'm saying
continue what you're saying.
And just as a side note, you've never even seen Mars Attacks, so you're not allowed to make any more comments about that movie. Just by the way.
You don't have to call me out.
Whoa, no. This is important.
I don't remember seeing the movie. I've seen pieces. Correct. I can't actually claim.
Like, you were talking earlier, like, you've seen it, and I wanted to chime in, but you were, like, going on a tangent. I'm like, you've never even seen that movie. What are you talking about?
Because I think this is where I've seen the alien. I've seen scenes from it.
You don't know nothing, okay?
Wow.
Just stop.
Wow. But I can honestly say that I think it was Mars Attacks. Is the start.
How do you know this is the start of anything? You've never seen the movie.
Because I liked all Tim. I can honestly say, when it comes to Tim Burton movies, up to Ed Wood, I can say that I like. Brian,
piss me off.
Brian, tell me the year before I look it up.
All right. So Ed Wood came out in 1994.
And Mars Attacks.
I'm getting there. The same year, 1994, he did A Visit with Vincent, which was a short documentary.
Right.
1996, Mars Attacks. Sleepy Hollow, 1999.
Whoa. So, I can honestly say that Mars Attacks is the first movie, going by what you said in the beginning, is the start of the fall.
No, but you
of
said
Mr.
that
Burton.
Before Brian said that, and that's why I had to chime in and say, how can you say that's his decline when you've never even seen the
because
movie?
Because I've seen pieces of
and
it.
And Brian saying he likes the movie, and I've never seen the movie either, and I want to see it, and you're just bashing it, and you
then
don't
where,
even know.
I will say this. I will throw my two cents in. I do enjoy Mars Attacks. It is a throwback to 50s sci-fi, which can be fun. It is fun.
Brian.
It's also all over the place, too. So I can totally see somebody going in, going, what the fuck was that? But there's you know, Brian. You have, yes, yes,
Brian, Evan. Before you embarrass yourself further,
you mean
I
embarrass
get
you.
How am I embarrassing like, myself?
No. I, like you said,
are you gaslighting me, sir?
No, okay, you're saying that it's a throwback, and I agree. What he's what Tim Burton's trying to do is a throwback to what Ray Harryhausen films, which are stop motion. But this is the first time that Tim Burton doesn't use stop motion. He uses now special effects, digital special effects, for the very first time.
Too, with the aliens. The aliens were computer generated.
If he would have made those stop motions and the way they looked, then I think I'm sure it would have been maybe a little bit better. But he went digital.
And they're like minions, too, where they go, ack, 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 ack. That's how they talk.
I think when it first came out.
And Jim Brown, you have Jim Brown fighting one of the aliens. Like, boxing them. It's great. Anyway, and Tom Jones is there. Annette Bening. Martin Short.
Do we need to watch this so we can talk about it? So I can now.
It hasn't been remade.
Because I can now talk about.
Yeah, you're talking way too much about it. You need to watch it.
Before I can talk shit about it.
Not allowed to talk about it.
This is like Lost all over again.
I had to do six seasons of fucking Entourage before I could talk shit about it.
This is true. You did do that. You did do that. Just like how I did Lost.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry. While we're on the subject of other movies, I have to just totally change gears here. I have to ask Brian, have you seen the original Haunting? The 1960 version?
I have not seen the original, no.
Okay, I was just wondering. We
watched that and
I don't want to watch something without Owen Wilson going, wow, a ghost.
Yeah, we're about to watch.
We're this close to watching the Owen Wilson one, but I'm like, God, it's really
That 90s. I know 90s horror is kind of like I hit it clearly, a lot of misses, but there's something about it, like because we grew up during that time, that I don't mind watching them. And these are the only times. This is the only time
it hits you back with the feelings of like high school days and everything too, because it's like you can probably pick a lot of fashion going like, yeah, I used to dress like that.
Even House of Haunted Hill. I think those two movies came like literally within a year with each other.
And I watched the trailer for the remake.
Around
of those.
Those times, yeah. Around and, those oh, times man. And everything.
Not
yeah.
look good.
Oh, I remember. I didn't see either of those movies, but I was working the movies and they were pretty popular at that time. But yeah, so Sleepy Hollow, obviously we all kind of agree that the Disney version is superior to it because it doesn't add a bunch of stuff to it. Again, I like Ava, I do enjoy the updated thing of Ichabod becoming like a detective or like a police officer and stuff. I do enjoy that. In fact, Legend of Sleepy Hollow, there have been many adaptations of this. Again, not a lot, you'd be surprised. But before this was The Adventures of Ichabod. Before that, The Headless Horseman, a 1922 short silent movie starring Will Rogers as Ichabod. You have a bunch of television shows, one starring Jeff Goldblum as Ichabod back in 1980, which that's a pretty spot on Ichabod, I think. Except he would probably just drive the headless horseman insane with his questions like how do you do that, what do you mean, what's going on, how do you you have a is there a body there, Mr. headless horse?
Have a shirt all unbuttoned.
He's posing. He's just like how are you doing, or he's just the guy that asks a bunch of questions now. And again, I was Jeff Goldblum always that weird, or is this an act now?
I think he's always been.
Because I don't remember him being this weird.
Because I think now he's a persona. I think hipsters kind of embraced them, like, in the 2000s. And I think he was always just kind of like that, to be, I think.
Maybe, I don't know. It just seemed like out of the blue all of a sudden, he's just like, hey, what did you think of this? What? What are you talking about? Spider-Man's not with us? What do you mean? What? I don't understand.
We can do The Fly with Vincent Price and then The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
We could. And, you know, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Yeah, no, so that's our first kind of movie that we're going to do. We're going to do it again weekly, week by week. We already kind of talked about some other ones, like The Blob, 1958, The Blob. Also, yeah. The 1988 feature, The Blob. We're also thinking about Psycho and Gus Van Sant's remake to the original Alfred Hitchcock movie. Also, The Invisible Man, which came out this year. Elizabeth Moss is Invisible Man, which was updated take on The Invisible Man, the classic Universal horror movie, a monster movie.
Claude Rains?
Original with Claude Rains, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so I think we're going to keep doing this every week. What are you guys in the mood for? What do you guys want to... Is there anything other than those that you are interested in exploring?
Like, all those three that you just said, or, like, the one you guys were just saying, The Fly.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those sound
really
good.
I'm sure there's more ones that I'll probably think of.
Yeah, no.
I feel like there's endless ones that I'm starting to learn. Like, you know, just watching, like, TCM, like, oh, wait, this movie reminds me of, you know, this other movie that I like so much.
Yeah.
And boom. Like, the Haunting, I didn't know, was a remake. But then you, after a while, you just notice, oh, everything's kind of been remade, especially when it comes to, like, horror movies. Like, another movie I was going to talk about, not to say we should do this, but going back to, you know, Sleepy Hollow, the original cartoon, I like the old style of American horror, you know, tales. And it made me think of John Carpenter's The Fog, kind of starts off that way, which also was remade. Not to say we should do that, but I was always kind of curious to see how the remake was. But I just like the old gothic, you know, story about, you know, comparing old American tale to, you know, a new one.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's fun, and I think these movies can be fun. They can also be incredibly horrible. But yes, you thought of something that was incredibly horrible?
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but a little bit. I was thinking of because you've watched for. I love the original Fright Night from 1985.
Yes.
You, I remember liking the remake that came out in 2000s.
The remake was kind of surprising to me. That was like, oh, this is fun. Yeah.
Which I remember. Yeah. I think we watched it. I think I remember we watched it together. I don't remember much of it now.
There's only one scene I remember, and it was the hero was trying to save a girl he thought was kidnapped, and he brought her outside, and it was sunlight, and she exploded into a thing of blood. And it was just kind of sudden and just like, oh, that's really cool. It was a cool effect, but it was also surprising. Like, oh, shit. Like, okay, that's fun. That's a cool little effect. And that's all I remember from that movie. So.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what's another one? Which you watch the remake, but not the original, My Bloody Valentine.
Yes, I remember that. That was the first 3D movie I saw. Because it was that's why I wanted to watch that movie, was because it was the first of the 3D, and we got 3D movies out here, and it was just like, let's see how dumb this technology was, and it was plenty dumb.
Oh, God. Yes, it was.
It was horribly dumb, and yeah.
I bought it for $3 in 3D.
Wow.
Did you
watch it?
No.
It's been on our shelf for years.
Only because I bought the original, and again, I went through a kick like, God, I kind of want to watch it to compare and contrast.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But no, I have not watched it. Oh, that's another one. The Thing from Another World and John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That's a real fun. I think I did that in high school. They had us watch the original John Carpenter, which was a vegetable monster, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
But it's actually kind of... I remember they're explaining this monster, because I've never heard of any kind of monster like this before, even on film, where it's an organism, but it's not animal-based. It's plant-based.
But yet it still needs human blood.
But it still needs human blood. Love it. And kind of changing gears again, another movie that reminds me of that is also the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which... Mm. And along with its 80s remake, which are pretty good. Those are two.
I've not seen either of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So those would be also.
Yeah. So what do you got? What are we going to try to shoot for next week in case people want to join in and
I would say the Blob and Psycho.
What was the first three? Oh, Psycho, the Blob, and what was the other one?
The Invisible Man. Psycho and the Invisible Man. I mean, I think we should just stick to those, and maybe we'll leave the last one, the Invisible Man. Maybe we'll do, or maybe we'll change. I don't know, but
yeah, we'll
I think the Blob and Psycho, along with this, is a good variety. I think.
Okay, cool. So let's go ahead. Let's do so the folks at home can watch and join us for the discussion. Let's do the Blob, and that is 1958's Blob, starring Steve McQueen. And 1988, I believe, the remake starring Johnny Drama.
Going back to Entourage, baby.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, baby. We did it.
Oh, yeah. The Blob is the very first movie I remember.
Oh, what's that? Do you hear that, B-Ray?
Awesome. This is going to be a good discussion then.
Her first horror movie. What's your first horror movie?
No, first movie I remember watching.
Oh, it's not a horror movie. It's your first movie you actually remember?
That has a very big impact on my life, I think. That's why I think I love classic movies. I grew up and I'm like, what was that movie my dad showed me? And then, from then on, I was obsessed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was first
horror. What's the first movie you remember, Brian?
I mean, the first big one was probably, it was the Disney shorts, of course, because I was a kid, Disney shorts, but the actual movie I remember thinking oh, that's a movie, was Return of the Jedi, because that came out in 83, and I was, one at that point or something, and both my parents liked Star Wars, so I do remember seeing that a lot. And also, the actual movie I remember seeing... There's a podcast I want to recommend to you, by the way, in just a moment. But the first movie I remember seeing in movie theaters was 101 Dalmatians.
Aww.
About horror? What's your favorite horror movie that you remember? Because everybody has one that
affected them. I remember, and I'll tell the story since Daniel isn't here to defend himself. I remember forcing him to watch Child's Play. I
watched that.
Because it's as a kid, that's what if your toys came alive and murdered you?
Yeah.
And I remember literally I would flip it back and forth between that and something else. And Daniel, who at the time was probably he was pretty young. I remember that. I remember, was that the one I sat on top of him to force him to watch it? I forget. Anyway, I was flipping back and forth, we were watching something he wanted to watch, Care Bears or something. And then, I'd be and hit the return button, and it would go to Child's Play, and he'd be like, no, no, don't do that! And I would flip it back. And then later that night, I swiped one of his stuffed animals from from his room, and... when he was going to sleep, I stuck the stuffed animal to where it looked like it was moving by itself from the corner of the door.
That
and
is
going,
so
going like the gremlin.
Oh God, monsters!
And then him just go, oh my God, Bob! And
that would disturb me for life.
It's like the opening scene from Luke Who's Talking 2. It's like when his animals come to life.
Yeah, exactly. And
I don't remember that having batteries.
But... yeah, exactly. So I think that one, that movie, because again, I didn't really, I always kind of avoided horror movies just because I always assumed these are cheesy and dumb and stupid and it's just whatever, I don't care. But I mean, it wasn't until I like good horror movies, like Halloween or, stuff like that, where it's this is good, actually. It's not just jump scares and bullshit things, but I do appreciate it now more than so. But yeah, so probably Child's Play. What about yours?
My first horror movie that I can remember ever seeing was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, Dream Master.
Yeah.
Only because three images. Yeah, maybe two. Three things I remember from that movie. One, when Freddy turns this girl into a cockroach.
which that image of that I will never forget. And then in the same movie, there's also a image of Freddy eating a pizza and stabbing a meatball that ends up being one of his victims' heads.
Yeah.
And also my favorite song that I can always remember, Dramarama's Anything Anything, was in that it's in that movie. So that was a huge impact on me. And Child's Play 1 and 2, especially 2.
I just saw that for the first time recently, Child's Play. I remember at the end of part 2.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this poor fucking kid.
Poor Andy. Speaking of Toy Story and Andy.
We watched part 1 and part 2, like, basically back to back.
Loved them.
Yeah.
So, seeing everything he goes through from part 1 and part 2, and then, like, the literally the last line of the movie is, like, his babysitter or whatever.
His foster sister.
He's like, what do we do now? She's like, I have no idea. And that's how the
movie ends. Credits.
I'm like, this poor kid. Fucking kid.
Yeah. Oh, that's what do we do now?
Exactly. That was it. Credits.
I don't know. Executive producer Chris Carter.
Yeah. It's great.
Like,
the
one I remember from the Child's Play movie was just, the mom picking up the doll and it doesn't have batteries and the head spins around and goes, "I'm Chucky, wanna play?" And it's like, oh my god,
Heidi Ho.
I like the beginning where the beginning always starts like a Tim Burton movie. It's the recreation of the reassembling of the doll again for him coming back to life. It is so good. I love it.
Exactly. And then you go on to part 3 where Andy goes to military academy because, you know, he has issues for whatever reason.
I wonder why.
Right.
And it starts off with like executives like, didn't a bunch of these kill each other? Who cares? We're making money. And then all of a sudden here comes Chucky again. It's at a military.
It's like going. Camp. It's like an Ernest going to camp or it goes to the army. Chucky goes to the army.
Slam dunk Chucky. And I don't know if you've seen the remake to that, actually, speaking of original, the remake and stuff, all they really do for this one, it's not a spirit possessed, it's just basically a programmer that just switched this doll to evil. So it's like the Simpsons Krusty doll, where the guy is just like, oh, here's your problem, somebody switched this to evil. Like, it's just basically a programmer that put in an evil programming bug in the doll and then killed himself.
They just have to upgrade the movie. They just have to modernize it by, okay, how do kids understand? They don't get witchcraft. Let's just say that it was downloaded from an app.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the whole part of that. That's the whole thing of that movie is that like, it's like, ooh, Chucky's anywhere. He can control your lights. He can control your TV. He can control the self-driving car. Like, you know, it does have some good ideas and everything. And, ultimately I was just kind of like, about it, but, it's still like kind of a modern idea for it too and such. But, maybe we'll do that next year or so, or maybe even who knows, we'll see. And also if the audience at home has any suggestions or anything, you can always visit us at Rewind Replay Record on Instagram. None of you do, so I don't expect you to, but whatever, it doesn't matter. We'll still post.
Just in case you want to, you let us know.
Exactly. Just reach out and say, hey, your show
sucks. Why don't you do that? Yeah, do this movie. Do my childhood movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I can just go, your childhood kind of sounds like it was shitty. And then we lost a fan.
And this is why we have no followers.
Sorry, Sal. No, just kidding. We would do your suggestion in a heartbeat. You've been a number one fan from day one.
Shout out, Sal.
I wonder what Sal is going to pick, though. Like, it can't be, like, Standard Deliver or Blooded or Blood Out. I wonder what horror movie he'll choose.
Those aren't really horror movies. But yeah.
They are to me.
Oh, boy. Here comes the rant. No. Edward James almost isn't. No. It's a living legend. Captain Adama. So say we all. But yeah, so yeah, join, you know, reach out to us, give us a follow, give us a listen if you like what you heard, rate, review, and subscribe, tell people about it, say, hey, I like this podcast. I know a lot of people aren't driving out there a lot, but, you know, maybe you want to pretend like you're part of the conversation and pause the podcast and answer with your question. We can't hear you, but you know what? We're there with you in spirit.
Yeah. Or if you're, you know what, if you're sick of your significant other, you know what?
Happens a lot.
Yeah. Have a fight with them, take a walk, listen to the show. Simple. Yeah. Boom.
And then come back.
We will make you forget that you ever had a problem to begin with.
Yeah, we'll make you miss that significant
Yeah. I'm going to run back. This show is awful, let me tell you.
Or
listen to this
shit. Or come back and start a new fight about why Sleepy Hollow sucks and she's wrong.
I have proof. Listen to the tape.
Listen to the tape. These guys have points. And she's just like, what the fuck is Sleepy Hollow? Dave, you're drunk.
I'll be
get
at my mother.
Help. Anyway.
Get my mother. So, get my mask. Get my mask.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week, again, we're going to pick The Blob, 1958 Steve McQueen movie, and we're going to watch the remake. The 1988, I believe, or the 80s version of The Blob, starring Johnny Drama. Kevin Dillon, I think his real name is. But we'll watch those, and yeah, watch them. Join us back next week so we can talk. Edwin, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here, bro.
Of course.
Always fun.
Ava, thank you so much for joining us as well.
It was a pleasure.
Exactly, and well, and I think he'll be back also for the next coming month and such. And who knows, maybe a whole other podcast that we tried to do and nobody followed through with it. Who knows? Maybe this will spur something. It won't happen. all right. So again, thank you for listening, and remember, be bad and watch shit.